All right. Good afternoon, everybody. There you go. Good. We got it. And welcome to Phoenix Raceway here in our championship weekend. It's great to see so many familiar faces and to be back to a sense of normalcy here. Last year, it was a very different operation. We were limited in media and fans. So it's good to be back to this and to kick off what's going to be a great weekend for us. This weekend, we're going to have a sellout crowd. We've got a full media center, full press box. So we're excited to be here to kick off what stands to be a great weekend for our sport here. And we're going to do it with our annual pre-championship weekend press conference here with NASCAR President Steve Phelps. So Steve's going to answer as many questions we can get to. As you all know, we have practice starting at 1 o'clock. So we're going to get through as many questions as we can in that time. But that will be kind of our drop on the back end of it. We want to get to as many of you guys as we can and get as much packed into this hour. So with that said, thank you, Steve, for making the time. Thank you for all the media that are here in attendance live for being here with this. And we'll start off with Steve kicking off with some opening thoughts.
Great. So Eric told me we have an hour, so I'm going to speak for about, my opening is going to be about 55 minutes. So I have plenty of time for questions at the end. Let me start by thanking you guys. This is my 2018, 19, 20, my fourth time addressing our media corps for a state of the sport at season end. And I always start by thanking you. And I'm going to do that again today because you all, whatever outlet that you represent, whatever medium that we're using or that you are representing, you are the ones that bring the storylines to light. You are the ones that bring the characters in our sport and bring them out and bring them to life, right? And you are a very, very important part of our sport. So I want to thank you for all you do. We have a long season. I love the length of our season, but it's not easy, right? And you guys represent yourselves and your outlet and this sport for many of you, you know, 12 months a year and other as you're following the circuit. So I want to thank you. Second, I want to add my congratulations to our drivers in our four national series, as well as the ARCA West series that we'll race this weekend. I think we've got some very deserving drivers in all four series, but certainly as we talk, and we'll mostly talk about our national series here, I think we've seen some incredible racing, but the drivers for the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, I believe, are very deserving to be here, and I wish them well. I hope you all, whether you're from Phoenix or you're from around the country or around the world, that you see just a tremendous energy level here at the Raceway, and more broadly, Avondale, downtown Phoenix. When you flew in, that you saw signage and things that represent that we are here in Phoenix and that this is our championship weekend. I think we didn't have the opportunity to do a lot of that last year because of COVID. But this year, I think Julie Giese and her team have done a terrific job. Eric had mentioned the sellout on Sunday. We are trending well ahead for Friday and Saturday. And that's exciting. You know, the fans are excited to be here. Whether they're camping one day, you know, in and out, just a tremendous energy level that is part of this championship weekend. Excited about that. So moving on to what I'll call kind of the state of the sport portion of this, and then as Eric said, I'm happy to answer any questions we can in the allotted time. But I was reflecting, and I talked to a couple of folks here earlier. The first time I had the opportunity to do this was in 2018 in Miami. You know, at that particular point, the sport was going through some challenges, right, or some headwinds, and those were real, and I think we felt that. I remember using the phrase that our best days were ahead. I'm not sure everyone in this room or folks around the country or the world believe that to be true. I did, and I think the results that we have seen are more than encouraging. They are I'm very proud of them, right? And it really took an industry coming together in order to make that happen, right? It took race teams and our broadcast partners, our sponsors, tracks that that we own or tracks that we don't own, that all came together to create an opportunity for our sport to grow, which is exactly what's happening. So if you think about the racing product itself, I like to start with the racing product because that's our business. We race. And I think the racing that we have is absolutely terrific. And if you do it from either an eye test or emotional test, or actually the data would suggest that we've had one of the best, if not the best, racing competition level in the history of this sport. So you look at green flag passes for the lead, and I think it's the second since 2007, the most passing throughout the field that we've had ever. These are, you can feel it, right? Great storylines that are coming out of it as well. I would say the drivers right now are up on the wheel more than any other time in our history throughout the field, and it's exciting. So how does that translate to engagement? Our digital and social numbers are the highest they've been since 2015, and we continue to add on the social side. And that we feel that energy level and that excitement level throughout the digital and social channels. Television, which gets a lot of focus, we are the most stable television, the most stable sport on television since 2018. No other sport, none, can match what NASCAR has done from a stability standpoint with our ratings. And if you consider our share numbers since 2019 in our Cup Series is up 18%, which is hard to do at this point. It's just hard. And then you look at our ratings for Xfinity and our Camping World Truck Series, they're up double digits. And the share in both of those series are up 25% to 30%. So we are having a moment as a sport. It's important that we keep it going, which is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to continue to invest. We're going to continue to collaborate with the rest of the industry to continue the growth that this sport is on. One thing I did want to touch on, and I think it really is kind of reflective of our sport and why this award is so important. You know, we're a sponsor-centric sport. So a lot of folks really kind of just consider the kind of the reporting out to be the sport portion of any sport. Given the importance of sponsorship to our community and to NASCAR overall, the race teams, the racetracks, for NASCAR in 2020 to be honored as Sports Business Journal League of the Year, I think speaks volumes to how far the sport has come. And every single person who's part of this industry, including the folks in this room, were part of that. Last year wasn't an easy year, but we persevered, and frankly, we are a far stronger sport today than we were pre-pandemic. And I would argue with anyone who would say otherwise. Then as we look forward into 2022, obviously we've got a significant change that's happening in the sport, which is the car that we're going to drive. The next gen car is an important part of the future of where NASCAR is going to go. And it really hits on a lot of different important things for this sport, whether you're talking about relevance, you're talking about styling, you're talking about bringing this car to a place that, you know, frankly, the existing car can't bring us to. The technology in the car, the data that's going to spin off that car, all designed to enhance the fan experience. And that's what I think is going to happen here. And it will create some opportunities for race teams to be competitive for a long time. And I think the racing itself is going to be one that is, it's going to continue the momentum that we've had from a racing standpoint. and a competition standpoint. Is it going to be exactly like it is today and significant number of passes for the leads and throughout the field? I don't know. But I do know that our race teams, our drivers, our OEMs, our own competition people will make sure that this is going to be the best racing we've ever had in this race car. So with that, I will open up for questions.
All right, great. Gang, we got two microphones we're going to bring around. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll take it around to you. We're going to start out with Jim Utter, and then we're going to Nate Ryan, and then Bob Pockris.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Two questions. First, kind of off what your recent comments about the sport being stronger since pre-pandemic. The beginning of the season also featured a vast restructuring of the Cup schedule that had been planned for a long time, and the continued development of the next-gen car. I was just wondering, and one of the networks, you know, even used the slogan, best season ever. I just wondered, looking back at this season so far, how much do you feel that the schedule actually transformed the Cup Series?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jim, and I should have addressed that in the opening, but I appreciate you bringing it to the group here. I think the schedule variation is critical for the success of the sport. I think you saw really strong results from schedule variation, whether you're talking about COTA, you're talking about Road America, you're talking about even format changes like Bristol Dirt, right, which might as well have been a new venue. And so Ben Kennedy and the team put together the most aggressive schedule we've had in 50 years. I think it worked. If you look at attendance, was fantastic at all of the new venues. I thought the racing was really good at all the new venues. And as we look to the schedule in 2022, going to the LA Coliseum to kick off our debut with our next-gen car as a proof point, frankly, to, hey, we can do things. We're going to be bold in what we're doing, whether it's the schedule or the car, all of it. We're going to take calculated risks. But to answer your question, I thought the schedule variation was very important. The reason why we're able to do schedule variation, frankly, is, you know, the two public companies that dominated the Cup schedule were, you know, they had responsibilities to their shareholders. And those shareholders wanted to see a return on the investment they were making in those public companies. So NASCAR merging with International Speedway Corporation and Speedway Motorsports going private were things that people don't think about, but that were very, very important to the success of the sport and will be for decades to come. So, and I don't know what the 23 schedule is going to look like, but I know it's not going to look like the 22 schedule. And what's your second question, Jim?
Second question was, over the last several weeks, especially, there's been some comments by drivers talking about things related to, like, policing, NASCAR policing on the track and things related to the next-gen car. But there seems to be sort of a perceived disconnect between the relationship between drivers and NASCAR itself. I know there were, you know, obviously there were things like the Drivers' Council before. I just wondered how you view the current relationship between the drivers and, like, the NASCAR executive, sort of speak.
Yeah, so I would say, Jim, that we went through a stretch in the summer where the drivers felt that they didn't know enough about the safety of the next-gen car and were vocal about it. What I can say is we had repeatedly met with the drivers to try to alleviate their concerns about safety. With that said, they weren't in a good spot, and so we just kept meeting with them and making different opinions and experts available to them, specifically around the test that we did down in Daytona. And I think the drivers are satisfied with the answers that they heard. So I would say as we looked at, you know, kind of June, July, early August, I think that's probably a fair statement that the drivers and the sanctioning body were not on the same page. But I think right now, I believe the drivers are you know, feel good about the direction of the next-gen car, both from a drivability standpoint, since they most of them had the opportunity to drive it now, and from a safety perspective. So I would say that we endeavor to make sure that our drivers understand where we're going, what's the vision of the sport, what's the direction we're going in, what role they play. And I think there are, although there isn't a driver council per se, you know, we've had, I think, 3 all-driver meetings. We speak with drivers all the time. You know, I speak with drivers myself. If they have concerns, I want to address them. And I know the entire NASCAR team feels the same way. Do I think that the communication between our drivers and the sanctioning body can improve? Yeah, it can. And it's going to. And so I think there's some different things that we've spoken to some veteran drivers about that will address some of those. May not be a driver council per se, but we'll continue to have all driver meetings. We'll probably have some smaller meetings with a handful of drivers, and then we'll have individual driver meetings. So to answer your question, Steve O'Donnell and I met with individually with probably, I don't know, 12 or 15 drivers, just to make sure they were comfortable with the direction that we're moving in.
All right, let's go with Nate, and then Bob, and then Jenna.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Steve, you alluded to the crowd sizes this weekend. You're sold out Sunday at Phoenix. You had a really good crowd at Martinsville last week, but prior to that, the 2 playoff races at Kansas and Texas, you had lackluster attendance both races, and it prompted some criticism from drivers, some discussion in the industry about maybe holding tracks more accountable, auditing ticket sales. I know that there's a provision in NASCAR sanctioning agreements where you guys can mandate minimum attendance. So I'm wondering if you can address all of that. Like, would you take those steps of holding tracks more accountable by auditing ticket numbers or by holding them to minimum attendance standards and with some sort of penalty if they don't?
Yeah, so I think we could all agree that that Texas, it wasn't our best foot forward for the year, which is unfortunate, but it happened. Specifically around Texas, you know, we are going to work with Speedway Motorsports to determine what's happening in that marketplace, and then what can we do collectively that will help ticket sales in that marketplace. And so we've got a group that we've put together that includes Speedway Motorsports folks and includes people at NASCAR to address what's, you know, what was, what I would suggest would be an unacceptable level of tickets sold in that marketplace. And, you know, obviously the facility is massive. It is a huge facility. And so I think it exacerbated an issue that existed there, which was they didn't sell enough tickets. And then as it relates to Kansas, you know, Kansas is a track that NASCAR owns. I thought we were going to see an incredible crowd at Kansas based on the number of tickets that we sold. We sold a lot of tickets. It was above 80% of the capacity, which, you know, at this particular point, I'd take 80 plus at most of the facilities that we have, at least right now. We want to trend. We are trending towards increases. Unfortunately, we only scanned 60% of the tickets going through the turnstiles because weather was challenged that day, or was supposed to be. I'm actually, frankly, surprised we got the race in based on where the forecast was. Obviously, the nice folks in Kansas and Missouri and other parts of the Midwest decided that they were not going to attend, even though they had bought a ticket. So for us, I mean, you look at attendance, and for our NASCAR tracks, you know, we were up every single race versus 2019, with the exception of one race. And that race went from one race to 2 races, which was Darlington. We aspire to be sold out everywhere. The fact that we are trending positively versus 2019, that's a good thing. Are we satisfied with it? We're not. But I think, again, the number of races that across our cup portfolio that were down, it may have been 3. I don't know the exact number, so I believe Texas was, Darlington was. I don't know if there was another race that was. And, you know, we went through a great stretch in the summer where we had sold out racetracks or racetracks that looked fantastic. And that's what we want to do. And we need to do that by doing a number of different things. We need to make sure that the marketing and promotion is as strong as it can be. We need to make sure that we are driving storylines. We need to make sure the event experience is better than it's ever been. And are we satisfied with where that is? We're not. We're going to constantly get better. And I think you'll see that this weekend. I think this is going to be the single best championship weekend we've ever had. Not just here, ever. And I think you're going to feel that from an energy level. You know, I think the drivers are going to put on a hell of a show for us.
Track follow-up, Steve. We haven't heard a lot on Fontana recently and converting it to a short track. I believe the last time frame was hopefully by 2023, but given supply chain issues and pandemic disruptions, are you still anticipating that'll be a short track in 2023?
I don't know, Nate. You know, I think that the difficulty to your point, there are a lot of uphill battles we have from a timing perspective. We are hopeful, right? So part of it has to do with, you know, there's going to be a conversion of the 2 mile, right? So what we know is the 2 mile racetrack where we're going to race next year. You know, we're selling some land around that. There are entitlements to it and other things that no one really cares about. But we've got to make sure that those things get done so we then can take the next steps to build that short track. I think there's a lot of excitement from the race fans. I've talked to a number of people in the garage this morning. Look at Martinsville. I mean, short track racing at Bristol and Martinsville were incredibly exciting. And so us adding another half a mile racetrack in a very important marketplace for us, being that I'll call it the LA DMA, is important. We have more fans in LA and that LA DMA than any other DMA in the country. It's fertile ground. And so my expectation is we're going to see an unbelievable crowd at the Coliseum. And many of those race fans, I would say 40 to 50% probably will have never have been to a NASCAR race before. Right now, the ticket sales are trending really well. 50% of the people have never been to a NASCAR race. We want them there. We are going to expand the fan base. And we're doing it by meeting people where they are, whether that's physically at a racetrack or it's through other mediums, you know, whether it's direct to consumer, it's over the air, it's radio, it's digital, it's social. We need to meet them where it is. Gaming, all of those things are important to the success of the sport. And that's why I think there's such great opportunity for us.
All right, let's go with Bob and then Jenna and then Claire.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. You were talking about event experience pre-pandemic. Cup cars were on the track 3 days a week, 3 days weekend with multiple practice sessions. Now it sounds like short practice session, two-day weekends for Cup. What are you going to do to make sure that fans want to come to the track for a full weekend, and what is the driver's role in that?
Listen, I think it's everyone's role, Bob, not just the drivers. Do the drivers have a role? And of course they do. You know, they're the stars of the show. And so we need to make sure our drivers understand the role that they play. It will be good to get back. Nothing's been kind of announced firmly to get back to practice and qualifying on the weekends, whether that's 2 days or 3 days. All of that needs to be that all of that is being sorted out. But that will be an important part of the race weekend experience. You know, we're unlike stick and ball sports where, hey, you may go and tailgate for the day on a Sunday if you're the NFL. You know, for us, we've got, you know, Julie's loading and camping here on Monday. And that's an important part of who we are as a sport. But we must do better on what that race weekend experience is going to be. We can always improve. And whether that's through technology and Wi-Fi, whether it's through opportunities for kids to do things that are exciting and fresh and new, opportunities for us to have 20-somethings come. What I would say, even in a limited scope that we have in terms of what the race weekend experience looks like, if you walk around the garage, you walk around the grandstands, you walk around the midway, we are seeing more young people come to the racetrack, more families come to the racetrack, more people of color that are coming to the racetrack, and that's exactly what you want. If you're a brand, you want to make sure you're refreshing your brand with new people who are coming into your franchise, and that's what we are seeing.
And I also want to check on Jay Fabian. What is his current status, and do you expect to have a new Cup Series director next year?
I don't know what the status of Jay is at this particular point, Bob, and I can't comment on what the future is going to hold for Jay.
All right, let's go with Jenna, then Claire, then Jordan.
Thanks. Hey, Steve. Brandon Brown won his first race this year, and it's quickly been overshadowed by what's become clearly political chant. I'm wondering how NASCAR feels about being associated with that. And, now it's popping up on shirts that look like NASCAR logo, if that's something that NASCAR is pursuing stopping.
So it's an unfortunate situation. I feel for Brandon. I feel for Kelly. I think it unfortunately speaks to the state of where we are as a country. We do not want to associate ourselves with politics. We don't want, the left or the right. We obviously have, and we've always had as a sport, tremendous respect for the office of the president, no matter who's sitting. And I think that it's an unfortunate situation. Do we like the fact that it kind of started with NASCAR and that is gaining ground elsewhere? No, we're not happy about that. But we will continue to make sure that we have respect for the office of the president. With respect to the trademarks used on that statement, to the degree that they're using a NASCAR logo, NASCAR bar marks, we will pursue whoever that is and get that stopped. It's not okay. It's not okay that you're using our trademarks illegally, regardless of whether we agree with what the position is or not.
All right, let's go with Claire, Jordan, and Lee.
Claire B. Lang, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. When you talk about steering the NASCAR ship through the heavy winds, right, into bold new territory, which is the next-gen car, can you speak to the fans about what things you would like to, you talked about the drivers, communicate to them as we, head towards Daytona, et cetera, and maybe some unknowns and maybe some challenges? What do you ask of them? What do you want them to know with this bold new direction, which should be very exciting, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, Claire, part of it has to do with communication. We need to get through our championship, and then it will be kind of all guns pointed towards making sure the fans understand what this car is about. So you look back in May when we did the full unveil, one of the best days on social and digital that we've had all year. There is tremendous interest from the fans for this race car. So I think it's really, the car, frankly, is for them. And that's why it was developed. And there are other byproducts of that that are going to be positive for this sport. But it really is bringing NASCAR to a new area, a new era. It is really, as I see it, this car looks so good, and it looks like the duplicate of a souped-up showroom car. And I believe the statement, putting the stock back in stock car, is a good phrase for us, frankly. It's what the fans have been asking for. You don't need to be a manufacturer to produce this car. You need to assemble the car smartly, right, and then have enough leeway in what that's going to be to put on great racing. And I think that's what we're going to see.
And when it's unveiled, are there things that people have to be patient with that might not happen right away, kind of thing, even though it's a great new direction?
Yeah, I think, there's a couple of things that, from a technology standpoint, that would evolve over time. What we don't know is, I think the maximum number of cars we've had on the racetrack at one point is 21 or 22. So we don't know what it's going to be like to race. But I think, to me, that's exciting. And you're going to do that at two incredibly iconic facilities, the LA Coliseum and then Daytona for the 500, that 500 week. So I think it's, if I'm a fan, this is a good time to be a fan of NASCAR, in my opinion.
All right, let's go with Jordan, then Lee, and then Michelle.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Steve, I know television contract negotiations haven't begun yet, but looking ahead a little bit, the NFL is going to have a game exclusively on Amazon. IndyCar is going to have one race a year exclusively on a streaming service. Are you comfortable with the Cup Series having, say, one race or whatever number of races a year on a streaming service and not available on network television? And I have a follow-up.
So, listen, Jordan, I don't know where we're going to go. You know, direct-to-consumer is an important thing for our media partners. I know it's important to NBC. And, you know, they've made a big bet on Peacock. What I do know is that, you know, next year, 22-23, our Cup Series, our Xfinity Series, and our Camping World Truck Series are going to be on linear television. Do I think there's a role for streaming or direct-to-consumer for our fans? I do. I think it's a really important one as we look to create better content that we would put through that streaming service, right? So if you think about, which is not something that's ours, but you think about Dale Jr.'s Lost Speedway on Peacock, it performs incredibly well. Our fans will find things of interest to them. What we need to do, Jordan, is we need to make sure that we are serving the fan where they want to be. So if that fan wants to be served on linear television, great. If they want to be served on linear television and streaming, a streaming service, great. If they want to be on linear television or not, or maybe it's just streaming, maybe it's just digital and social, wherever it is, we need to meet that fan where they are. And I think that we've got opportunities there. So I can't speak to other sports, but I know for us, at least in over the next 3 years, linear television is going to be important, an important place for us.
As you begin these TV negotiations and you see what other sports leagues are getting for their rights, do you anticipate NASCAR is going to get more than it received for its last television contract?
I would say that we are positioned well to have a good media rights discussion with Fox and NBC. If I started off talking about us being the most stable major sports property, it's just a fact. The numbers are what they are. Could I have said that in 2018 and been completely honest with you? Probably not. But what I do know about 2022, based on the way this schedule is going to go, we are going to have our most successful year on television than we've had in a long, long time. It's going to happen. And assuming that weather is our friend, we have a tremendous schedule that we've put together. And I think it's going to yield significant results for us. And if you consider that next year is the last full year before we start our discussions with our media partners, that's a good thing.
All right, let's go to Lee, then Michelle, and then Jerry.
Thanks for joining us, Steve. Ask your two predecessors this, and they seem to be pretty high on the fact that a new manufacturer would be coming in, and I think there's more than a buzz going around the garage right about now about Dodge. And, you know, if they were to sign on the dotted line, say, you know, or if they have already, you know, clearly I don't know the answer to that, but how long could we expect to see another manufacturer on the racetrack?
You know what, Lee, I don't – there are some discussions that are certainly going on with other OEMs or new OEMs that would come into the sport. Our three existing OEMs are happy about that. Our race teams are happy about that. We're happy about that. It's been widely rumored that Dodge is one of those or closest. I won't confirm or deny that. It is important. We've made no bones about the fact that we want to have a new OEM in our sport. I think we got delayed with the pandemic. With that said, we are an attractive place, I believe, for OEMs to come into the sport. And now is an important opportunity for them to do that because of the next-gen car. I also believe that the fact that the sport is growing and has a relevance that it hasn't had in decades, is causing some real interest from other OEMs. So nothing to report at this particular point. It is important. I would suggest that things are progressing, or I would say that things are progressing. And when we have something to announce, we will.
And after navigating the pandemic so masterfully, when we get, you know, if things stay the course with COVID, you know, over the next however many months, do you anticipate speed weeks looking like the probably the most normal speed weeks we've seen in the last 2 years?
I certainly hope so, Lee. I think that, you know, if we continue to trend the way we're trending now, I think we absolutely will have that. And I won't get into the exact numbers that we have from a Daytona 500 speed week standpoint, but the number, we haven't seen advanced ticket sales like this in decades again. So there's people are feeling like this is, we're going to have some normalcy. But I also think it speaks volumes to where the sport is, and people want to come out for big events. We're going to see some. We're going to see it this weekend. We're going to see it around the 500. We're going to see it around the Coliseum, and it's exciting.
All right, let's go to Michelle, then Jerry, and then Alex.
Hi, Steve. There's a Barstool ad outside that window. There's often a Liberty University-sponsored car on the track. How do you think NASCAR, its teams, and its tracks should respond when its sponsors are involved in sexual assault allegations and scandals?
So the Barstool reference and this sign out here, you know, we have a very large relationship with Penn National Gaming, which bought Barstool. So we actually had a partnership with Barstool several years ago, which we ended a couple years ago. And so the Barstool relationship in sports betting specifically is an important part of, or sports betting is an important part of where I think all sports are going, including ours. But I think that where Penn is and their relationship with Barstool, because they own them, that will be their decision about what they do. With respect to Liberty, I don't know a lot about that situation. I know that Rick Hendrick had addressed it. And where that goes in the future and what happens because of the allegations, I think that would probably determine where that actually ends up versus, you know, where things are from an allegation standpoint.
About just in general, something that's not specific to Barstool or Liberty, how do you think in general that teams and tracks should respond if something like that happens with their sponsors?
Yeah, I think that, and we're not alone in this, Michelle. I think for us, we need to be very thoughtful about what we do, because, you know, we want to represent what's best of this sport, and if there are things that drag it down or that are that negatively associate with our sport, it's not something we'd be interested in.
All right, let's go to Jerry, and then Alex, and then Jeff.
Steve, thank you for your time. In 2019, we got away from the entitlement sponsorship of the sport and went to the four partners and tiered ABC format. How has the format worked so far? And what is the role of the B and the C? Have you been able to fulfill those officially, or is this going to be the four primary what we see going forward?
I would say that for our Cup Series, to take a brand off, no disrespect meant to Winston, no disrespect meant to meant to Nextel, Sprint, and then Monster. Having our own brand back was very important for us. So the relationship that we have with those four primaries are important. And I think first and foremost, the opportunity for them to promote the sport, which is what they've done, I think is a great first step. But to me, it really is the opportunity for others to promote the sport without promoting a single brand, which is what you would need to do if you were going to talk about, you know, the Monster Energy Cup Series, right? Or Nextel, or Sprint, or Winston. If I'm a brand, I want to associate with what I'm paying for, which is the relationship with NASCAR, not with another brand that I don't frankly want to promote. So I would say that after now 2 years, we are very pleased with the primary sponsorships that we have with those four brands. And you know, whether we expand to another brand to join them or not is something that we would certainly keep open. But if we were going to do that, we'd need to be the right brand.
All right, let's go to Alex, then Jeff, then Dan.
Hey, Steve, thanks for your time. You talked in the spring about the importance of trying to bump up the vaccination rate in the industry. And so I'm curious what that rate is now and how you feel about that number.
Well, it's not high enough, Alex. We have seen a significant increase from where we were in the spring, both, I'll just call it the garage. And I think I think there's a responsibility that individuals have to each other. That's my opinion. And do I think the vaccination rate is going to climb significantly from here? I don't know. But I do think it's important. I think there's a responsibility that we each have to each other to make sure we're staying safe. And if you are someone who doesn't believe in vaccinations, then making sure that you're masked and socially distanced and making sure that you're taking the precautions necessary in order to have people stay safe, I think is our responsibility.
Well, you mentioned that you don't know how much that number is going to change going forward. Do you foresee NASCAR changing protocols or requirements going forward?
You know what, Alex, it's a good question. And to date, I think it's worked. We as an industry, I think, are very different based on how we interact with each other, particularly race car drivers and crews and whatnot with their built-in PPE. It's different than the NBA. Could we or should we change our policy? That's something we'll think about in the off season. The answer may be no, but we are always trying to make sure that we are putting on safe racing and making sure we're not in a situation where we have drivers or crews that are that are not coming to the racetrack.
And then totally unrelated question, but earlier this year I know it was announced that there was going to be some sort of like a series, almost like Drive to Survive on USA Network, that was potentially going to happen. What is the status on that? Is that still something that NASCAR wants to do?
Short answer is yes. We are in discussions with NBC Entertainment. Things look very positive, and I think actually, if we're able to get a few contracts signed in the next couple of weeks, they'll begin production in December. They will be at the LA Coliseum, and there's a decent possibility that they will not just look at a segmented period of time like they're going to do in the playoffs, that they'll extend it to the broader part of, or potentially even the entire season. So, again, nothing to report there. So if it looks like I've just reported something, I haven't. But we are encouraged, and I think it's an important opportunity for us to showcase our sport in a different way, to a different audience. And, you know, we are moving to USA next year. It's a higher distributed cable network than NBCSN. We will work with our partners at NBC to have our fans understand that this is where it is. The typical USA Network viewer tends to be younger, and so I think there's a double positive that will happen by migrating from NBCSN over to USA Network.
All right, let's go with Jeff, and then Dan, and then Kelly.
Obviously, I don't see the fan canceled data, but anecdotally, at least there's a vocal segment of the fan base that doesn't like the philosophy of what the 550 package represented. And now, even though it's going to be a different rules package, the same philosophy is there. It's sort of like the lower horsepower. What do you guys see in terms of evidence from the fans that encourage you to sort of double down this with the next gen car?
You know, Jeff, I think, again, I would look at it two ways, right? I would look at it, as I said in my opening, optically, what do you see? Do you think the racing's good or not? Our fan council data would suggest that the answer is yes. Is there a vocal minority that says that they don't like, you know, a 550 horsepower package? They want to see 750 plus? Absolutely. Then I would go back past the kind of the optics test or the eye test. I would go to the data. And the data would suggest that we have better racing right now than we've had arguably ever. You know, when you are at a 550 track and you have a restart, I mean, it is wild. And these drivers are up on the wheel and they're making moves that I it's incredible. I frankly don't know how they do it. Certainly not something I would do. They're incredible. And I think they're putting on some unbelievable racing. So I've said it before, Jeff, and I know that seems convenient, but we're not going to make every race fan happy. I wish we could. I really do. But what one person likes, another person doesn't. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at the number of people who are saying, or the maximum number of people who are saying, I really like that, and give them more of what they're getting. So, and if you look at, and I think we've responded, frankly, to what the fans have had to say. So fans said they want more road courses. We have more road courses. And fans said they want more short tracks, and I think that will be people will bang that drum. We'll do our best to find short tracks that can satisfy them, that can host cup races like, you know, what we may see in the future in Southern California.
All right, let's go with Dan, then Kelly, and then Dustin.
Dan Gelson, the Associated Press. Steve, on-track etiquette and drivers policing each other or not is an issue again in all three series. What are your expectations for how you see each three of the championship races being run this year in regards to that topic? And yesterday Denny said that NASCAR doesn't really get involved, but then they have to police themselves. But it seemed like he got involved with, you know, Chase and Kevin. What's your role, NASCAR's role, in what's happening on the track?
Yeah, I think I'll address the Chase and Kevin thing. So we did meet with the driver, met with the drivers initially together, and then widely reported that there was a Zoom deal that O'Donnell had addressed the folks with. What we wanted to just remind them is that we're not going to put up with behavior that is not good hard racing, right? And so if you want to take it to a different place, then there are going to be significant penalties that will come with that. And it was just a reminder. I think that, you know, Kevin and Chase certainly understand where we are. I think they agree with the fact that we went ahead and did that and talked to them both about that. You know, with respect to, you know, Denny's other comments about drivers policing themselves, I think that's right. You know, he addressed something yesterday where he said, hey, there's a lack of respect out there. I think there are drivers that disagree with him, and that's okay. And I will say this. I think the racing right now and drivers that are racing hard with each other, it's good for their sport. And I think it's, you know, coming out of Martinsville and, you know, Denny and Alex and the fact that it didn't escalate any further than it did, you know, I think it got to a line but didn't cross a line. But and I think that Alex has had some fun with it, and we are it's a great opportunity for the sport to have guys that are racing hard each and every single week. And if Denny disagrees that guys that are sailing it in there and are not being respectful of each other and it's not just good hard passing, I would suggest that a portion of that certainly is in our DNA. Did anyone ever say to Dale Earnhardt that he's being disrespectful as he's taking guys out, which he did a lot? That's good hard racing. At least it was. And now does it change over time? Yeah, maybe it does. And kind of people's perception or driver's perception about what's okay and what's not. I think the drivers have traditionally figured out, and I think they're going to continue to figure it out as well. But I also think that the drivers are going to continue to be up on the wheel. I think they're going to continue to race each other incredibly hard. So, again, what that looks like is over the line for one driver is not for another.
Do you have any concerns in each of the three championship races that it might?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You know, I think I think that given the style of, like, Martinsville at a half-mile racetrack, you've got some leeway to do some things, right? Do you, on this racetrack, do you have an opportunity potentially to, you know, drive someone hard and drive them up the racetrack to go for a win? Yeah. And it, I find Denny's comments interesting, right? Because on the one hand, he said it wouldn't do that. And then when he was pressed, are you going to, you know, would you do that? And a laugh, said, well, I think it should, you should just race the guy hard. But he kind of left the door open a little bit, right? And it's, he doesn't know until he's in that moment, right? He hasn't been in that moment before. And the question is, what would Kyle Larson do? What would Chase Elliott do? What would Martin Truex do? Or what are the guys going to do tonight and tomorrow? But that's why we watch.
All right, let's go with Kelly and then Dustin.
KellyCrandallRacer.com. Steve, you sit here to talk about next gen and all that that's going to bring next year, forward car numbers. So we look at the finale. That means drivers are on the move. Charters are changing hands. There's teams going away after Sunday. So in talking about the state of the sport, how comfortable are you with the makeup of the Cup Series garage right now?
You know what? It's a good question, Kelly. You know, what we have seen is, and it probably next gen is a phrase we use, but some people probably think too much. So next gen car, next gen owner, next gen fan, those are important things for our sport. So, you know, I want to publicly thank, you know, Chip Ganassi and his, you know, 20 years of ownership in NASCAR. It got very dark in here. It got less dark. Thank you, Amanda. It's all good. But I do think it's that's what the sport has always been about, right? You have drivers come and go, owners come and go. I'm excited about where we're going. You know, I had a conversation with Justin Marks the other day, who, as of Monday or Tuesday, will take over Chip Ganassi Racing. And he has an energy and excitement level for the sport that I think is important. He's going to look at things differently. He's going to promote the sport. He talked about being a steward of the sport. That's incredibly encouraging for us at the league level to have an owner like that saying, hey, I want to do what's in the best interest of the sport, because that's what we're trying to do. So the makeup is going to continue to change. You look at the Cup Series, you've got colleague that's coming up, and you've got Justin with two charters that he has bought. It's going to continue to change. Lots of other things that are rumored to be happening with additional changes. I think it's good for our sport. I really do. I think it's healthy to infuse it not just with new fans, but new ownership, new brands that are coming to the sport. We're seeing all of those things.
All right, let's go to Dustin here, and we'll see how much time we have left here.
A couple of questions. Steve, you said at a recent SBG conference that everything that is still ailing NASCAR in terms of the next-gen car, this is the panacea for what that is. And I'm curious, is what's your comfort with the car in terms of, like, the economy with supply issues? Certainly there seem to be some issues with the car, and right now you're 3 months away from putting a product on track in front of a public audience and a national television audience.
Sure. What I would say, Dustin, is that this car has been tested, run, more collaboration than any other new car in the history of this sport. Not even close. So the Gen 5 car that came out, we ran a test in January. Before we raced it at Bristol for the first time. I am confident that, and we check all the time on supply chain issues, and what, as of now, there are no issues. We'll continue to monitor that because it's important. You know, if you got 30 components, major components to the car, and you only have 29 of them, you have a problem. So until the car is on the racetrack, we'll continue to be, you know, give it all the attention that it deserves, which is a lot. With respect to issues with the car that we're working through, right now it's really down to two things that we see, which is steering, which you guys have talked about, and getting that right. And the other is the heat in the car. And we've got some solves for that the drivers, I believe, are feeling more satisfied with. So I'm, listen, until it comes out and we're actually at the LA Coliseum and then we're at the 500 with race cars on the racetrack, you know, I'll continue to be concerned. But I would say that, you know, Steve O'Donnell, Probst, Brandon Thomas, that group, working with our teams, working with our OEM partners, have done an incredible job getting us to this point. I'm super proud of the group. I think this is a really important milestone for NASCAR, and we have to get it right.
Also, for as much as you've talked about what Phoenix has done is in hosting this event and making this an event, you know, some drivers have talked about the idea of rotation or moving it around. So how will you determine or look at the concept of moving a championship race? I know there was a talk about looking at a potential 2031 schedule, you know, 10 years out. I'm guessing it was probably a different championship host at that point. So how do you look at, you know, trying to, for as good as what you feel like you have here, the idea of moving around, and is it something in a host a 3 to 5 year or a one year thing, like maybe a Bristol at some point?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dustin. I know there's been a lot of conversation over the years about doing that. I think the move from Miami to here was an important one after 20 years. And I think thus far it's worked out very well. The community here has embraced us. I think you see that. You know, the question to me is really more about the competition, right? So we've been embraced by this community. Would it be embraced by other communities? I'd suggest we probably would be. So what is the best place to host your championship? Are we open to rotation? Yeah, we'd be open to rotation. I would say that every single option out there we look at, and I think you've seen that over the last 18 months, that we are going to not be afraid to maximize the opportunity to create the best racing that we can in the best market we can and at the best racetracks that we can.
We got one last question here. Kathy, you can close it out for us here.
Thank you for taking my question. You had mentioned earlier about how you're hoping that NASCAR can get back to some sense of normalcy. But being from Southern California, every day there's a new restriction placed on us with COVID, and not being able to go into restaurants and bars in the city of LA and LA County without having a vaccination card or showing proof that you've been vaccinated or had, I call it as of right now, negative test. What I've seen in Orange County is the Anaheim Ducks have a model where if you go and you don't have a vaccination card, you can get tested right there at their facility, and then you can go into the event if you're negative. Is this something that NASCAR is thinking about doing when you go to the Coliseum and possibly Auto Club?
Yeah, so we're going to have to figure out, as we get closer to that event, what all of our options are. So will Southern California or, you know, Los Angeles, will they get to a place where they are being less restrictive? I'm not suggesting they will, but it's something that we're going to monitor, and we'll have to have that in place, right? So right now, to your point, if you're going to Lakers game, you're going to wherever it is, you are going to have to show proof of vaccination. So as of now, if you're buying a ticket, then you have to either show, you know, proof of vaccination or, to your point, you know, a negative test. We'll have to abide by whatever rules that someone is placing on us, that we have to abide by what those are going to be, whether we're talking about Southern California or any other market that we're going into. And that's, you know, we have to be respective of the states that we're going to. It's no different last year than in COVID, or when, you know, we had to get permission from governors and health officials to even come to race. Whether we're racing, you know, initially without fans or then going to race in front of fans, you know, it's their home, right? And we need to be respectful of it.
Have you thought about doing it on site, like how the Anaheim Ducks are doing it? Because where the LA Coliseum is, it's not as simple as I'm just going to run to the Walgreens, sure, or to CVS and get my negative test. So have you guys thought about doing it on site?
Yeah, I'm sure my guys have thought about all of that, and I don't exactly know where that stands. But again, we want to make sure that we have every opportunity to have people get into that stadium to see that amazing event. And so the fewer hurdles that people need to go through, obviously the better. But I'm sure our folks are looking at all the alternatives.
All right, all. Appreciate you all making the time. Steve, again, thank you for the time on this one. We got practice party to start. Again, let's have a great weekend, and thank you again all for your time on this. Have a good day, everyone.